Welcome to the January 27th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service today is led by guest minister, Reverend Kathy Stivers. The title of her sermon is Reviving the Power Within. Not included in the podcast, but referenced therein, is a story for all ages read by Worship Associate Kimberly Homer. Reverend Kathy spoke here on July 31st, 2016. A link to the podcast for that service can be accessed from our past sermons page.
Well, there's no such thing as coincidence, as you know. And I have another example of that this morning. The reading comes from the Book of Destiny, Unlocking the Secrets of the Ancient Mayans, and the Prophecy of 2012 by Carlos Barrios, who is a Mayan shaman and a member of the Mayan Elders Council. And this is part of the Mayan creation story. And Kimberly and I didn't know this until a few minutes before the service when she said, I'm reading this story for the message of all ages. I hope that's okay. And I looked at it and I said, well, this is perfect, because where your story leaves off, I pick up. So, here we are. This is part of the Mayan creation story about how humans came into being. And you heard a little bit about that this morning in the message for all ages, that there were several attempts, first with mud, then with wood, then with corn, you know, a couple of experiments. And her message finished with the last version of human beings that were, they were pretty, the creator, maker, and shaper, the whole council of creation. They were pretty satisfied. Yeah, I think we got it this time. Okay, so this is a little bit more of that. The wisest beings were created at the dawn of this humanity. Their gaze encompassed the whole of Mother Earth. They had no language as such, but transmitted their thoughts and visions by means of images. Their strength and power were limitless. Their thought and essence reached the presence of the Great Father, Heart of the Sky. Nothing was unknown to them except death. Not since that time have such magnificent beings walked on the face of this beautiful earth. It is said that they were demigods, because the creator, the maker, the shaper, and the giver of life, it was a group, a council of gods, agreed to make them. These humans created miracles. Their breath was like the wind, and nothing was hidden from their eyes. Great was their presence on earth, and great were their powers. However, their hearts became filled with pride and vanity when they forgot their creator and maker. They were so arrogant that they believed they had the right to make use of the rest of creation. The fathers thought, we didn't create beings who only think of themselves. So they decided to limit the power they had given these beings, since harmony with the natural order is what keeps creation alive. The Council of Gods blew on their creatures' eyes and created a mist that prevented them from seeing images with which the rest of creation speaks. Let them see, the gods thought, but only a short distance. Let the future be their mystery, their need. But those who remember their creation, who remember their origin, who turn to their creator and maker, who have just cause and purpose, they will see again. Then the gods closed humans' ears so that they can only hear what is near. No longer can they hear the sound of the cosmos. And since that point in creation, humanity has lost its intuitive strength. Their power is only material now. They do not see the purpose for which they were created. And now they know death, but they play at being eternal. Well, the good news is that's not the end of the story. And by the end of the service today, the rest of the story will be calling on all of us. I want to thank you for welcoming me back. It's good to be back here among you. I'm a word geek. So in keeping with January's theme of possibility, I thought it best to start with the etymology, which means the origin and original meaning of a word. And ever since I've hooked into etymology, I'm out of control. So it does really take you on a journey. So the etymology of possibility, which is the theme for January. Possible comes from a Latin word meaning that can be done. And it is directly related to, and whenever I say that, it means it points you to another word. And then it keeps pointing you, and then it keeps pointing you. And then 15 minutes later, you've just really followed a trail that's gorgeous. So it pointed me to, it's directly related to potent, which means powerful, able, capable. And the oldest root word that possible and potent can be traced back to is a word meaning powerful and Lord. Okay? So Lord, I had to look up that word. You can't stop. Because Lord connotes one who holds power, I needed to look that up. Okay, so Lord is an old English mid-13th century word meaning master of a household. It's a contraction, a shortcut of an earlier word which literally means one who guards the loaves. One who guards the loaves. Well, that makes sense. That's your sustenance that guards the food. The guard part of that contraction comes from the original root that means perceive, watch out for. So in summary, haul back the journey, the possibility refers to the power and capability to guard or watch out for one's household. Let's say that again because that's what we're talking about today. The power and capability to guard or watch out for one's household. Now hold that thought for a minute because we're going to come back to this definition, but I need to take a step away to introduce you to my book. And yes, it is a shameless plug, but much more. So just humor me. This is the book that I've been working on since the last time I came here. About 2.5 years ago, I spoke to this congregation about the research I was doing in order to write a book about indigenous spirituality and practice. And I spoke then about making beauty as an indigenous practice. I don't know if any of you were here 2.5 years ago. That's a long time ago. So anyway, there was an interest from some of you back then after the service. A number of you came up and said, let us know when your book comes out. So, I'm back, and the book is here, and it is available after the service for sale. So I talk about the book now regarding the sermon about reviving the power within ourselves, and the book is Reviving Our Indigenous Souls, How to Practice the Ancient to Bring in the New. Well, this book provides a broader context for the exploration we're going to be involved in today. So I want you to bear with me a while we do some more etymological journeying about the title of this book, because it's long. Reviving Our Indigenous Souls, How to Practice the Ancient to Bring in the New. The etymology of the words of the title and even the words of the chapters drove the writing of the book, so they were very intentionally chosen. The first half of the title is Reviving Our Indigenous Souls. Revive means to bring back to life or to bring back to the forefront of one's attention. So it may not have been dead, but it may have been out of our sight. Indigenous literally means inborn. It literally means inborn. That which is born in each of us. We use that word to allude to where someone is born or where a plant is native to. And then even later, the use of the word to define a group of people. But originally, it means inborn. Indigenous soul is a term that's authored by Martine Prechtl, who is a Mayan shaman, And he refers to it as it's basically the spirit or the energy that is found in and around all living things. And in Mayan cosmology, that's everything, everything, because everything is energy. So it can be likened to Buddha nature, or Christ consciousness, or the Atman, or that inner gold spark. Pick a world tradition, a world faith, and if you go to the mystical aspect of that faith, they speak of this inner part of us. And Martin Prechtel calls it the indigenous soul. So the first part of the title, Reviving Our Indigenous Souls, means to bring back to life or back to the forefront of our attention that spirit or energy within us that has been there from birth. So think about the creation story we just read. It's kind of coming back to that. Second part of the title, How to Practice the Ancient to Bring in the New. Practice means to do. It implies that it's action-oriented, and it implies repeated actions, because practice makes manifestation. I encourage you to substitute that word in. Perfection is a madness, okay? So practice, repeated actions to manifest. Ancient, from an etymological standpoint, this is a fabulous word. It's one of the best words. It has so much meaning in it. But in general, if I've narrowed it down to the specific point, it's a word that brings the past, the present, and the future all into the now. So therefore, the ancient practices that are promoted in this book are timeless. They're appropriate for all human beings in all times. So, how to practice the ancient to bring in the new. Bring means to carry or produce or offer. The new means fresh or different from the old. Now, a number of indigenous and religious prophecies point to this time right now in our life and in the life of Earth as a new age, a new era, a golden age, characterized by love, generosity, peace, abundance, unity consciousness, wisdom, and profound human spiritual evolution, also known as ascension. And we are smack dab in that shift into that new age now. It may not look like it. It started on the solstice of the winter solstice of 2012. So remember when that happened, 12/21/12, when the world was going to end, and we woke up and it didn't end? That was the end of the Mayan long calendar. That was the end of that era. So since then, we have been in this new age, and it's a long, gradual process, but we're in it, and it is in fruition. It will come into a more prominent expression in the next decade or so, trust me. And it will take several generations to come to full fruition. We are in the best of times and the worst of times, for even as these unimaginably good things are coming our way, we will also experience some dark and difficult times en route to that full blossoming of the golden age. And indeed, we are experiencing some of those things now. It's pretty chaotic. There's some pretty what's going on things going on, and there's some pretty amazing things going on. So that's a sign. That's kind of a rumbling. So the second half of the title, How to Practice the Ancient to Bring in the New, speaks to engaging in timeless practices that are necessary to carry in or bring forth the new era. So altogether, this book is about us recovering or remembering who we are as humans during this unprecedented time of great cosmic and planetary change. And it's pretty cool. It's an interdependent proposition, really. This new age brings us the prime conditions to revive our indigenous soul. So it brings it to us, saying here. And it's saying, step up. It's a partnership here. If we humans are needed, not if, we are. We humans are needed at this unprecedented time. We are needed to be our best and most capable selves. The spiritual evolution of Mother Earth and her children depends on us to be fully human. We are created perfectly human. The only flaw is that we don't know how capable and powerful we are. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Based on what I've learned through the research and writing of this book, I've discovered that we humans are both built for and wired for power. And remember the etymology, possibility is power. And in particular, the power we need to maximize our own experiences and chart our own courses, essentially to watch over our own households. So now let's return to that phrase and see how it connects to the etymology of the word possibility. So when we talk about building and wiring, this is an architecture and engineering town, right? Right? Virginia Tech, known for its, among many other fields, but so this should make sense here. The power and capability to guard or watch out for one's household. So when I say household, when I say that we are built for human possibility, I'm referring to our physical bodies. The human body is the house where the soul hangs out, where the spirit hangs out, where it anchors itself in the physical realm. First, we've got muscle and bone. We can move, lift, shape, carry, hug, shield. We can do all kinds of things. We can create things with our hands and our voices. We can do things because we have a physical moving structure. Secondly, we can sense. We can see and hear and taste and touch and smell. All of these help us create our experiences. All of these can protect ourselves from not so good experiences, and they certainly help us guard our house, look out for our bodies. A third built-for aspect of our bodies, and you've noticed this every time you look in the mirror, but maybe you haven't paid attention to it in a while, from head to toe, our bodies are symmetrical. There's a reason for that. It wasn't just happenstance. Notice how your right side and left side are almost identical. They mirror each other. And why is that important? Balance. From a physical structure and also in the spiritual. We'll talk about the spiritual balance in a minute. But that's very, very important to balance. Our bodies are the physical expression of our need for balance, our need for relative homeostasis, for returning back to center if we've wandered off of it or been pushed off of it, to come back to that. This symmetrical structure that is the body is perfectly suited for the wiring. So think of the wiring and the source of power within the walls of the house. This analogy is true also for the human body. All right, so there's our physical, there's our house. Now let's talk about how we're wired for this power. We are wired for the power and capability to guard or watch out for our households, our bodies. We have within us these three major components. We have an energy source. We have multiple energy sources, but energy source, energy processors, and wiring. The sources. Where do we get our energy from? We heard about it in the story this morning, the message for all ages. We heard about it in the creation story. It comes from our atmosphere. We get it from everything external to us. Everything, there's energy coming inside us. We're permeable. We're conduits of that energy. So we get it from heart of the sky. We also get it from the earth. It's called grounding. When people say, oh, I got to get grounded, that's what that means, putting your feet right on the ground and pulling in that energy from the earth. So we get it externally. We also get it from within. That's our indigenous soul that we were talking about. We were born with that energy in us. Remember that potent, when I said that etymology, potent, was very related to possible, possibility. And another word that comes from potent is potential. Potential. I remember a long time ago, someone, when I was, just painstakingly learning about atoms and molecules and all those things. And then somebody told me a little secret. They said, you see that picture there where there's the nucleus and all the protons and electrons and all that stuff in there? And you see all that space in there? That's where the action is. That's the potential. That's what's in us. Ready. Potential is an energetic force waiting to take shape and action. So there's our energy sources. The processors of that energy that we pull in are our chakras. And you've heard of the seven major chakras in our bodies. There are seven major ones. There's more than that. There's three lower chakras, what I call the below-the-belt chakras, and four above-the-belt chakras. The lower chakras help us, if we are physical and spiritual all in one, the three lower chakras help us be physical and anchor in a physical world. They help us, they're concerned with our own, with safety and security, with group identity, with self-identity, and with personal power, okay? These lower chakras are almost like the house. This is the basement of our house. If the basement is sturdy and the house isn't going to tip over anything, this is what these chakras deal with, is processing energy and the stimulation to make meaning of us living in a physical world. The upper chakras, they help us to do our spirit work. They help us with our soul work. They're concerned with love, relationship with the seen and unseen world, our free will and our own willpower, with forgiveness and reconciliation, with self-expression, with intuition and wisdom. So you remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs? That basically you can't address these self-actualization top ones unless the bottom ones are satisfied. This is the same principle of the chakras. And there's actually five more outside of us, so we've kind of got our own Wi-Fi. I mean, it just goes way beyond our atmosphere, but that's beyond this. So there are constant currents running through these processors, right? Because we're constantly taking in stimuli and making meaning of it. That's how we live. We take in stimuli and go, what's the meaning of this? And we're processing it. And we're constantly managing that power internally in a way that we can remain balanced spiritually as well as physically. We're managing that current in a way that doesn't blow a fuse or spark a fire that burns our house down. Same analogy. Okay? So we've talked about energy source. We've talked about the processors. The wiring in our bodies is our nervous system and all of the pathways, our meridians. That's the wiring for all this electrical energy going through us. So the power within is the cooperation of these three aspects of every human being. Our internal energy, which is our spirit or our soul, complemented by atmospheric and planetary energy coming in, our chakras processing it, and our nervous system and meridians communicating it to our body. Okay? So now for the connection between our building, how we're built, and the wiring, how we're wired. The information generated from our chakras' constant processing is sent to our physical bodies, which have the capacity to move and shape and build and create and protect and all so many things. Our bodies are constantly responding to these experiences based on how we process the energy and communicate with our bodies. So here's where the rubber meets the road. It all comes down to how we process that information. And what I mean by that is, what meaning do we make of what is happening in and around us? What meaning do we make of our lives or the purpose of our lives? And think back to the creation story and why their power was disabled, some of it, because they had lost their focus on what their meaning of their lives was. We'll come back to that. So I'd like to guide you in a little meditation here to help you affirm the truth of your embodied power, the power within. It's about your body and about your building, your how you're built and how you're wired. And I'm going to use the very words and phrases that we have spoken and sung this morning from this house, the responsive reading, and from Gather the Spirit. So I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes. And as I read some of these phrases to you, imagine that I'm talking, when I say this house, that I'm talking about your body. This house is for the ingathering of nature, including human nature. It is a house of freedom, guarding your dignity and worth. It is a house of truth-seeking, a house of art, a house of prophecy. This house is the cradle of your dreams and the workshop of your endeavor. This is your house. And now keep your eyes closed. And I'm going to speak some phrases from the hymn we sang together, Gather the Spirit. And imagine I'm talking about your spirit, your power within. Gather the Spirit here and harvest its power. Here within, witness the mystery. The seeds you will sow are stored here. Love and conscience are refined here. The cycles of days and months resonate here. Residing here are peace, gratitude, strength, and hope. Sympathy, compassion, and celebration, they manifest from here. Gather that spirit. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. How's that house feeling? So let's pull all this together now. All this explanation of the cooperation between the power within us and the bodies that house that power leads us now to the rest of the story. The creation story you've heard this morning left off at the point where humans' abilities to see and hear were dramatically restricted. Why? Because they had a malfunction in their processors. They erred in their meaning-making. They lost their connection with their creator and with all of creation. They lost the connection of the meaning and purpose of their lives. It was lost on them. So their creators wisely said, we need to disable some of their powers before they blow up, and before they blow up the earth. But as I said then, this isn't the end of the story. The rest of the story goes like this. The era we're in now is the era of profound human evolution. The prophecies are coming into being. All things are aligning for us to regain the abilities we once had, to see and hear like we once did. Have you ever heard the phrase, those with eyes to see and ears to hear? We thought Jesus cornered that market. No, those words are way older. All things are aligning for us to recover who we once were, to awaken to who we fully are. All things are aligning to restore what had been disabled. All things are aligning as the cosmic shift that we are in now pours down energy to meet us and infuse into our awakening selves. And the rest of the story is that we are simultaneously activating and participating in a revival of our inner power. We are remembering, putting back together what was once dismembered. The rest of the story is a return to the original capacity of humans to do miraculous things with our indigenous divine power. The rest of the story is in the potential. It's in that space. It's in the starting blocks ready for us. It's ours. The rest of the story is ours to shape and ours to tell. And it's calling us from within. As we leave from this place, let us embrace the possibility that resides within us. Let us exercise our power and capability to guard over our own lives. Maximize our experiences and chart our own courses. And let us join with all of humanity to claim the rest of the story as ours, ours to shape and tell. May it be so, And so it is.